Thank you, Don. And yes, welcome to September. Fall is here, and we're all here in the room on Labor Day. So, as Don said, we could be anywhere, and yet we are here. So, we are family here. We really are. We are a spiritual family. It's good to see every one of your amazing faces here. And also, Don, who I just saw in real life. Dove, hey, buddy. Yeah, Dom was here for her first time at the retreat center for a whole week. I got to spend several days with her, and Dom was just amazingly blown away by it. And I really look forward to hearing your sharing on your insights, Dawn. I've heard a lot of them from being here with you, but I look forward to hearing your sharing. And it was just fun to see Dawn in person after seeing her here in Zoom for 10,000 different times. Thank you, Susan, also for agreeing to be my reader. I little quick funny thing that occurred before we start up here. I asked Susan to read NTI chapter 4. Now, if you're listening, do you notice a problem with that request? There's not a book that it's listed there. So I said NTI Acts chapter 4. Oh, okay. All right, so let's start up. Let's take a minute and greet everybody here on the board and say hi across the virtual aisle. And Dom will play our opening song.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic. Awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Thanks, Don. It's good to see everyone here in the room today. That's exciting to see all those that are here choosing to be here with the spiritual family that we all are. So let's just state our statement of purpose here in Awakening Together. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols. We seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And every week we highlight one of the core values in Awakening together, and I'm going to highlight the fifth core value today. We accept all forms as temporary appearances permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. And those include both pleasant ones and the unpleasant ones. And however anything shows up, we choose to honor it and focus within on the truth. Okay, so here are our announcements. Join us next Sunday, September 8th at 8 p.m. Eastern for our quarterly meeting. Reverend Jacqueline Eckert will discuss the second quarter financial report, our new forum policy, and the fall retreat and other important member news. Also, join us for the meditation, hiking, and contemplation retreat at the Awakening Together Retreat House right across the alley here in beautiful La Vida, Colorado, September 16th through 20th. So this will be a little bit different retreat. There will be a lot more activity in terms of hiking. There already is some walking and hiking at every retreat, but this will be mainly focused on hiking, daily hikes in the Colorado mountains. So if you're a person that does have physical, you know, engage regularly in physical fitness, you have the proper hiking equipment, the boots, the shoes, the day pack, you know, water bottles, all of that's required. The hikes will begin easy and get a little bit more challenging as the week progresses, but will not require technical mountain climbing skills. We're not going to be going up vertical rock face or anything like that. So anyone that participates in a regular exercise routine, loves the outdoors, should do really well at this retreat. And the hikes are led by a fit 59-year-old woman, Jen Hunacres, so you can count on a moderate hiking pace. Daily meditation, contemplation, and spiritual discussion are an important part of this retreat. We will have a group meditation each morning before taking off for the hiking trails. You will have time for contemplation on the mountain each day and each evening after returning to the retreat house. For more information on this retreat or to register, visit at www.atretreathouse.org. Finished up an amazing retreat, and I got to go to most of the days of it. I had to miss a couple of days due to my work, but I got to go to most of the days of the retreat, and it was awesome. And it definitely inspired my topic for today. Another announcement is our MPP class, which is our next one coming up. Jesus of the New Testament begins in September. For centuries, Christian mystics have awakened to truth by contemplating the teachings of Jesus as written in the New Testament. What did they see in his teachings that traditional Christianity has been unable to see? Contemplate scripture as the mystics have and discover that answer for yourself. This class meets on Tuesday afternoons, September 24th to October 15th, from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, and will be facilitated by Reverend Carl Lammers. Learn more at awakening-together.org under Classes and Retreats menu. Registration closes September 14th. That's about 10 days before the start of the class, because homework begins a week prior to the first meeting of the class, that, as it always does in MPP. Another announcement is plan to join us for a new program called Something Genuine on Sundays, 6 to 7 Eastern Time, beginning September 8th. This is led by our own Reverend Jacqueline Eckert. So if you ever have watched a TED Talk on YouTube, you will appreciate this unique format and content. Speakers at TED events have a maximum of 18 minutes to share their messages, which are delivered in highly polished, succinct speeches. These talks are often humorous, poignant, and informative. In this program, we will watch and discuss TED Talks that reveal the truth of ourselves and universe based on actual experiences of ordinary people. Their insights are genuine, not based on theory or dogma, and give us a man-on-the-street perspective on what we are coming to learn through Awakening Together. We expect this to be a fun and illuminating program. So I am looking forward to that. So she's starting up this new, really a new program. So we'll get into these TED Talks and discuss them. So that should be really cool. So join me in a prayer, this invocation prayer, as we move forward in the service here today, in the gathering. Dear God, infinite being and love, Holy Spirit, I open my heart and my mind and willingness to you. I trust that this wisdom and guidance that comes from within is the one true source, and I willingly follow it as my only guide. I put forth a willingness to let go of my resistance and enter into the purification and healing that shall make the way clear to live in truth eternally. Amen. All right. And so the title of this week's message is Living Life as a River. And I will explain why I came up with that and how I came to that a little bit later. So to start us off, I'm going to play a song I found called The River by Jordan Felice. And I will, there's a weird screen flashing that occurs on my computer when I play this song. So I'm going to post this here. Dawn, if you wouldn't mind playing that, it might be better for everyone's eyes so they don't go into epileptic seizures of the brain. maybe give you that link and you can play that song.
Go to lay the troubles down, eating your soul. I know a place where mercy flows. Take the stains, make you whiter than snow. Like a tide, it is rising up deep inside a current that moves and makes it come alive. Living water that brings a dead to life. Down to the river to pray, yeah, yeah. Let's get washed by the water, and rise up in amazing grace. Let's go down, down, down to the river. You will leave change. Let's go down, down, down to the river. Never the same. Seen it move in my own life. Took me from dusty roads into paradise. All of my dirt, all of my shame, drowned in the streams that have made me born again. Like a tide, it is rising up deep inside a current that moves and makes it come alive. Living water that brings a dead to life. We're going down to the river, down to the river, down to the river to pray, yeah, yeah. Let's get washed by the water, and rise up in amazing grace. Let's go down, down, down to the river. You will leave change. Let's go down, down, down to the river.
Gonna go down in amazing grace.
Yeah, thanks, Don, for that quick impromptu playing of the of the song. One day I'll figure out how to get my computer working straight here with all that. So there it was, down by the river. And I'll just share a little story. When I was down by the river during the contemplations, during my week of retreat here, as I mentioned, what we do is take a destination in mind, like some of the different areas around here, really beautiful areas. And one of them is called Bear Lake. And that was the day that we all sort of ventured up into this beautiful sort of lake area, which is a mountain lake. It's a very high mountain lake, probably at about 10,000 feet elevation. And so when you go there, it's, you know, of course, very pristine, very pure air, very clean. And we were in silence, and I sat down. We all sat down in our own little areas to contemplate. And the particular area I sat down in was right next to the sort of stream that was coming down from the hill into Bear Lake, basically feeding it with water. And as I was sitting there just being with nature, which is what we were practicing, at least what I was practicing as I was there in that amazing beauty, I was looking at the river, just emptying my mind, looking at all the little rocks in the river and the beautiful water and the clean air smell flowing, you know, the clean air while I was watching the water flow around these rocks. And the sound of the water as it goes around the rocks. And this whole image moved into my being very deeply as I was sitting with it. And I was like shown a insight as to what this really means and how this is a metaphor and symbol. And I know this may be something you've heard 1,000 times, but that day when I was there, it penetrated deeper into the mind and sunk in to me deeper in a more visceral way, not intellectual, visceral feeling way, as Don would say, felt sense, right? So as I'm sitting there, what I realized was this water that's flowing around these rocks, right, is effectively truth or life itself. Cannot be stopped. And it moves around all of the different rocks that fell in its path without any complaint. It doesn't say, oh, darn it, anyway, that rock needs to be 2 inches to the left so I can flow a little easier this way. No, it doesn't do that. It doesn't complain about where the rocks are placed or why they happen to fall there, because it's kind of random, right? How the rocks just fall in there. Just like the experiences of our life sometimes seem so unexpected that the rocks just fall in, and, you know, the flow of our life has to move around them. But what struck me was what little complaint the river had and what amazing willingness the river had to flow around these rocks with ease and no hesitation whatsoever. It didn't hesitate to walk it to flow around these rocks. So, you know, we can reflect on that as we look at our own life, and we just sort of take a minute to observe how we've responded and flown or not flown around the different things that have been plopped into our life, you know, because that's the one thing that we can count on, is that we can't know exactly what's going to happen. We can't know all of these things that are going to come into our life at all. So with that note, we are going to turn it over now to Susan. She will be our inspirational reader for today, and she will be reading Chapter 4 of NTI. Yes, every chapter across all of NTI of Chapter 4. No, just NTI Acts, Chapter 4. Turning it over to you, Susan.
Thank you, Jay. And, you know, Jay and I, of course, have this great spiritual connection, but he really, really pushed the mental telepathy this week when he asked me to read all of NTI chapter 4. Fortunately, this is actually one of my favorite chapters. Well, it is today. Anyway, you'll see why in a minute. I have told you before that you will be tempted to deny your guidance. And I have told you where this temptation will come from. It is resistance born of a sense of unworthiness. I have also told you where this sense of unworthiness comes from. It is born of guilt, born of the belief that you have stolen yourself from God. Here lies another contradiction that you must look at slowly and carefully. You believe you have stolen yourself from God. That is to say, you believe that you have made yourself separate from God's will. You believe it is your choice to follow God's will or your own will. And you feel guilty for this choice because you believe it is a sin to have made a will that is separate from God's. Your guilt, born of the choice to have a separate will, leaves you feeling unworthy of God's will. And so out of your guilt and sense of unworthiness, you deny God's will by not hearing it, or by hearing it, but not believing you are deserving to follow it. There are several things you must look at here. First, you do have the desire to know and follow God's will. Hold that up as a beacon. That is your willingness. Let it guide you to your true heart's desire. Secondly, the feeling that seems to be an obstacle to knowing and following God's will is the belief that you are unworthy of God's will. This is like a crafty trick. It is a loop that keeps you trapped within an illusion of yourself. And here is the loop. You think you are guilty because you want to serve a will other than God's. And your true desire is to serve God's will, but your sense of unworthiness is an obstacle to that desire. Do you see the loop in which you are snared? Can you see how your own belief in your guilt and unworthiness seems to lead you onto the path of increased guilt and additional unworthiness? This is why I have come, to help you look at the upside down reasoning within the mind that keeps you feeling trapped, and also to help you see that you are not trapped, because you can lay down this reasoning that makes no sense. When you lay it down and put it aside, you are free to know the reasoning of the Holy Spirit, which is right reasoning and is joy. Remember this story of Peter and John as a symbol to help you hold on to your willingness. Know that as they listened to pleas to lay down their purpose, there were doubts in their minds that seemed to echo the reasoning of the pleas. They were simple men, and they seemed to be taking on the history of the world with a new message that they taught. But know also that they did not listen to their doubts, their fears, or their own sense of unworthiness. They trusted their message as the message of the Holy Spirit and the one will of God. In following this trust, they gave themselves permission to do God's will, which was their heart's only true desire. Remember this symbol. You are worthy of God's will for you. You are worthy of the voice for God and all that it will share with you. When doubt enters your mind, born of unworthiness and guilt, lay it aside. It is the loop you do not want. It is the loop that hides the truth from you. I have also told you not to be confused by what you hear, see, and experience within the world. Everything is applicable to the purpose the Holy Spirit has set forth. Everything can be used for the salvation of God's one holy Son. When the form of what you see or experience confuses you, remember to pray to me. Remember that what you look upon confuses you only because you believe in separate wills. If you knew that there was only one will, you could not be confused. Remember also that whenever you look at the world with the ego's upside down reasoning, you cannot see clearly. Be willing to deny what you see and trust that there must be another way to understand the situation you look upon. Pray then in this way. O Father, I come to you now in humility and gratitude. I am humble because I realize that I do not know how to see. I cannot see the Holy Spirit's plan, and so I do not know what I look upon. But I also come in gratitude because I trust that the Holy Spirit does know and the plan is safe with him as the overseer of all things. Amen. Then give yourself to your Father's will, offering that you may be used for the purpose of healing without the desire to judge. This is to lay yourself aside and to do your part in your Father's plan. This is God's will for you. This is how you can be useful to the whole. To give of yourself is to give as you are asked to give without judgment. Whenever you notice guilt within your mind, you have judged. And so you are not listening with full desire to only be useful. You are also asking that you may decide what is right and what is wrong, which means that you are asking that you may exercise a will of your own. Do not let this realization upset you. Indeed, you may laugh when you find it within yourself. It is nothing more than another ploy of the desire to hide your true desire from you. It is another loop that leads you nowhere. It is another opportunity to remind yourself that you do not know the plan and therefore you cannot judge. Be happy. You are only asked to do what you are asked to do. If you do all that you are asked, you have done enough. There is nothing more to give, having given everything that you have been asked to give. Give in joy, knowing it is your true will to give. Let go of guilt, knowing it is just the illusion of an illusory will. For any will that seems separate from God's will must be an illusion. For you do know that your true will is always the same as his.
Thank you, Susan. Beautiful reading. Beautiful reading. I can tell that's your favorite chapter. You really put a lot of clear intention and thought as you were reading that. Thank you. I could hear the the true spirit of what was being shared in the meeting. You know, have you ever had something? We all have had those things, right, in life that we're really excited about having, and yet part of you doesn't feel worthy of it, and you kind of either do or don't get it. Either you break through it and you get what it is you wanted. And I'm just talking about in our human experience of the of life, the occupation, the marriage partner, the relationship, whatever it is that you have that you really get excited about and think that is really going to be awesome, and then maybe you do have it, and you do feel worthy to receive it, and you get it, and you're really happy with it. Or maybe you don't feel you're worthy of it, and you kind of shy away from it, and you learn to live with not having it and sort of give up on it. You know, so it's that experience, right, of coming up to something that's really exciting that we think we're excited about, and you know, that's when we face whether we feel we're worthy to receive it or not. In just a purely human sense like that, for me, it was, I was always excited about the spiritual path in general, and about knowing God in a true way, knowing truth. That to me was what I was always excited about, even more than marriage and kids and all of that. I knew I needed to earn money all along the way, so I started a consulting practice, which I've always really enjoyed. And as I allowed myself to receive more and more, I allowed myself to receive, you know, money in that way. I felt worthy enough to receive the money that I was paid independently for these databases that I would build. But those are all the sort of separate will, ego trapping, sort of I feel worthy to receive it, law of abundance kind of teachings, which are fine at the level of that. I think it can get you ready to receive the grandeur of God in the moment and our true greatness as following the will of God and feeling worthy to do that by letting go of the unworthiness. So I think it all works together. And as Susan read, I don't know how or why things are being used. If I do get confused, I'm lost in thinking that I can make my own choice about, you know, what's right and wrong and what should and shouldn't be the case and what should and shouldn't happen. And those are really a lot like putting rocks in the river. Good news is, even if we do put our doubts, our little doubt rocks, in the river of the flow of God's will, which is what I look at as this river moving into Bear Lake, is the flow of the will of God doesn't stop. And it doesn't really get impeded either. The rocks and doubts we throw in, the will of God just moves right around them without any effort and with complete ease. So all that we experience when we have our unworthiness is the unhappiness, right? Is the confusion, the doubt, right? The rocks. Things shouldn't be this way because I've decided in my head the way things should be of what would make me happy, and therefore things aren't happening that way, and therefore I'm going to be unhappy. You know, and as we're lovingly guided here in NTI chapter 4 is be happy. You know, just like the song that was played a few months ago, don't worry, be happy. You know, when I'm in trust, how can I not be happy, right? you know, I was talking about things that occur that are unexpected. Sometimes when I'm working, there'll be several hours worth of work that I've done that will suddenly disappear on the computer. So, you know, there's my choice to be happy or not. Or, you know, someone that you want to be a part of something says no thank you, or whatever it is. You know, we don't know why things are supposed to be the way they are. We just don't. We have to just accept what is. And, you know, what I've noticed is when I follow my guidance, there's always an amazing series of things that occurs. You know, moving here to La Vida, an amazing series of things has unfolded. The relationships and interactions with people here has been, in some ways, what I expected, in some ways, very different than what I expected. And in all the ways that it was different are where I have been receiving what the plan was to, for my awakening. You know, these are the lessons. And whatever resistance I had to that was what NTI Acts chapter 4 here is talking about in terms of the resistance. And these are the little rocks. So you can think about in your own life the little rocks of doubt that you've thrown into the flow of the will of God in this beautiful river, which is incredibly beautiful, and then smell the clean air. I mean, this is what the will of God is this beautiful thing, incredibly beautiful thing. That's what I've come to realize is we don't need to fight it, right? And the temptation to go against it is just a temptation. It's the confusion. It's the thinking that I'm going to know better, right? A little gnat on a dog's back is questioning the existence of such a thing as dogs, right? Oh, I don't, one little gnat says to another gnat on the back of a dog, I don't know about this dog thing. That's all just a bunch of hooey, you know. But it's, you know, yet it's where they live, right? We live within God. We live within truth, consciousness, resting in awareness. We are worthy of this. The only way we know we're worthy, our natural state of worthiness, is to let go of this unworthiness. You know, this loop. I mean, usually we talk about the loop of thought, seeing and experience, and that, and then back to thought. This is what I see. This is what I experience. Back to thought. We talk about that loop a lot, but the loop of the unworthiness is also just as trapping. You know, the good news is our real desire is to follow the will of God. That's our real desire. Our real desire is to follow the will of God. We can just say that to ourselves a couple of times, either out loud or in our head. My real desire is to follow the will of God. Even though you don't believe it, you're thinking it, there's some doubts about that, just say it anyway. My true desire is to follow the will of God. That's what will make me happy. It was proven to me in seeing this river. The river was perfectly happy. The river wasn't complaining that the rocks were 2 inches to the left. It was incredibly beautiful, the flow of this little stream as it was feeding this lake. And some were big rocks, some were little small rocks that were in this little stream. And yet it didn't really stop the will of God ultimately. It just, the will of God still flows through all of it, right? In and around all of it. All the obstacles we put in are still used by Holy Spirit in some way or another. Of course, we've all been 100,000 times thought of that thought about how, you know, we have the guilt from thinking we've stolen ourselves from God. We've all thought that 100,000 times. And yet we still feel the unworthiness to truly follow the plan and be happy many times. Not all the time, and maybe you don't all the time. But many times this is what we can experience. You know, and it's the whole old adage of the sin, the guilt, the punishment, all of that we think we've created, that we think we're unworthy of receiving God's will for this. And yet at any time, I can choose to lay down what I think is right and just cooperate. And just cooperate. Say, you know, maybe I don't know what should be happening here. I'm going to trust that maybe I don't know, and maybe there's something cool thing that's going to happen here. And I'm just going to get on that little sled and ride down that river. And let's just sit with that. This is my true heart's desire. This is my true heart's desire. When we feel that resistance coming up, that, oh no, oh gosh, oh geez, this is resistance. Not again, oh my gosh, why is this happening? That is resistance. That is confusion. That is feeling unworthy. It's masked. It's crafty trick. But beneath it, something's about to be shown to you, to me. I'm about to receive a gift. You're about to receive a gift. So these are seeming obstacles. So what I can practice when I have the, oh no, or oh gosh, or oh my Lord. And I certainly have had a few of those when I've seen people acting in ways that, you know, I've deemed that they shouldn't be acting. Oh, geez, the eye roll or whatever. You know, that is the unwillingness. That is the, something is being shown to you. Something is being shown to me. So instead of doing that, if I sit with it and I allow myself to be worthy to receive what is occurring now, that's when I'm shown the gift. That's when I'm serving God's will. When I'm being present with my brother and my sisters, universal brother, regardless of gender. When I'm sitting with them and being with them. You know, one of the things I've been working with a lot lately is to let go of sarcasm in different forms. And one of the things I've noticed in myself is, and sometimes I joke in a way that can be sarcastic. That I guess maybe that's one of the remaining ways I still have to look at it, is it's sort of joking. Again, those are little obstacles to God's will, because that's trying to change the way things are instead of let it be what it is. And as I keep cutting the threads of these little things in me, these little unwillingness, resistance threads in me, I am able to be a channel or vehicle for God's will more and more and more. And I am happier and happier. That's what I've noticed. And I hope you've noticed the same. Because if that's not happening, then it's most likely not serving God's will. It's maintaining the imagined separate will. You know, of course, we can go back and say, well, we learned these things when we were kids. And we can also teach that, well, it was in the mind of everybody. That's one of the things that came up during our retreat, is the discussion about this little unworthiness thing. What Regina calls the I am bad is stuck in the minds of everyone. It's like a companion in the mind there, an unwelcome companion, like in everyone's mind. And we all, you know, people cover it over in different ways or try to not admit it or shove it aside. And we've talked about it 100 times, and we'll probably talk about it 100 times more until we all really get it, you know. And the Holy Spirit is telling us in these passages, this is why I have come to you. Whether it's Jesus or you think of it as the Holy Spirit or the inner truth or whatever, this is why I have come to you, to turn around this upside down thinking that keeps you feeling trapped. You know, there's such a feeling of being trapped in this unworthiness that can be freed by realizing your real desire is to serve God's will. And you are actually worthy of doing that, because we are all consciousness. We are all one Son of God. We are all in this together, just appearing as separate. So like a little slithering snake, this feeling that you're not worthy to do that enters into your mind from the programming, from the childhood, or whatever it is. But nothing can stop you at any given time when there is resistance that comes up to remind yourself that you're worthy of God's will. Because that's the truth of it. That's hidden, that's masked. You know, when I have the resistance to a person and how they're acting, or whatever behaviors you have, maybe whatever manipulative behaviors you've learned over the years to try to get people to do the things you want them to do. You know, we all have these things, right? Don't deny you do that. You do. Most of them, some of them could be unconscious. Some of them may be not unconscious. Regina's been a great example for me in not manipulating situations and circumstances, letting them just unfold how they may, deliberately not planning, keeping an open mind. You know, the mind is like a parachute, works best when it's open, you know, because you go splat down on the ground when you don't open it up. So keeping that open mind to what may be God's will, you know, what it may be. Let's turn that upside down reasoning into the right reasoning, which kind of sounds Buddha-like, you know, sort of right. Well, there is right thinking. That is one of the aspects of the Noble Eightfold Path. You know, it doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't. To not acknowledge and admit that we are worthy of this, that we are worthy of the truth. Just because we've gotten into this self-will thing and what we call our mind and my way of deciding and thinking of the way things should be and people should be and how they should act and et cetera. And really that's just a cover so it doesn't reflect back the very same thing in me, because if I looked at it, then I'd be free of it, or I would fall into tears or go, oh my gosh, I just realized I was hating on you, and that's actually self-hatred in me that I'm projecting onto you. Oh my gosh. Or, you know, you're always late. Well, and that's, I take that as disrespectful, and I think that means that I'm a worthless piece of crud. It's all the same root cause inquiry. It all goes back to the worthless stuff, all of it. So what I find is when I walk into that, there's like this breakthrough, and you just walk right into it, and the opportunities are right there in your immediate relationships and your immediate situations right now. That's where those opportunities are, to be untrapped, to be unstuck, to let go of the unwillingness and the resistance, which really just masked unworthiness. Because God's will flows through us. Like the Force from Star Wars, it flows through you, all of us, you know? You know, in the stories of Peter and the early church and John, you know, as they were teaching and going against everything that was taught. You know, you are one. We have, God is within. This is here, right now. The one will of God acting through us individually. You know, we can have the fear of being righteous. And I'm not talking about grandiosity. I'm talking about genuine righteousness that's gentle and loving and from truth. And the kind of feeling that you can stand in and smile and not be swayed out of. That's what standing in God's will, whenever I do that, is how I feel incredibly strong, completely powerful, not in an egotistical way, but in a way that's standing in truth. Nothing can threaten it. You know, and here in NTI, it talks about God's will for you. It says, you are worthy of God's will for you. We still think we're a self. So we have to accept this for me. And in doing so, we actually let go of the separate me in doing that. Yes, we have conditioned patterns that make up a personality that makes Susan appear with her own personality and me with my personality and Shauna with her personality and Don with her personality, George with his personality. But as we practice this, we just become a vessel. Not only do we stop having problems with everybody else's personality, but we actually start loving everyone so incredibly. Again, Regina's been a great example for me in this, and others too. But I've moved so much more into loving everybody as they are, and laying aside that unworthiness. You know, one of the things I found in Course in Miracles, this is from chapter 9:8-4. The ego is immobilized in the presence of God's grandeur because his grandeur establishes your freedom. Even the faintest hint of your reality literally drives the ego from your mind because you will give up all investment in it. Grandeur is totally without illusions because it is real and it is compellingly convincing. Yet the conviction of reality will not remain with you unless you do not allow the ego to attack it. The ego will make every effort to recover and mobilize its energies against your release. It will tell you that you are insane and argue that grandeur cannot be a real part of you because of the littleness in which it believes. And that's the unworthiness part. The Course in Miracles just uses different words. Yet the grandeur is not delusional because you did not make it. And of course, it teaches about what we make is versus what is created. You make grandiosity and are afraid of it because it is a form of attack, but your grandeur is of God who created it out of his love. And so we are all this grandeur. And that freedom that this passage talked about in the Course in Miracles is the freedom to act from our true desire, to choose actual or true desire to have and to serve and to be embodied with God's will willingly. That is the freedom. We're not trapped to only be stuck in our minds. And so, and we have, as this passage talked about, gotten very invested in our judgments and opinions politically. You know, let's start talking about Trump, or let's start talking about some other hot button issue, and we'll see how many people get upset and really get it passionate about making everyone convinced that their opinion is what's correct. And I say that maybe that's something you're guided to do, but the point being that, is it coming from ego or are you being guided through Holy Spirit? You know, and the ego will try to tell you you're insane. Who here on the path at some point did not have the ego tell them that they were insane? Mine did at many points. What are you doing? You're insane. Why are you spending your time doing this? This is stupid. Like, these are the kinds of things that, because you're threatening the littleness that Course in Miracles calls the NTI is talking about as your will, the separate thinking that you want to have a will of your own. That's the littleness, which is the grandiosity, which is completely the opposite of the truth. The grandeur is the truth. The grandeur is what is not delusional. The grandiosity is what is delusional. You know, the Course is big on talking about attack and how you can't really attack truth, but you're trying to. You know, so you're just trying to, you know, like how if somebody held you away at their arm's distance and you were fighting like this and your arms could never reach the other person's, like that's what it is. You can't ever... you can't really attack truth or change it. It is what it is. So let's just join. And as these doubts come up, let's lay them aside. Let's let them go and breathe and trust and be in that space. And that unworthiness that comes up in our mind is hiding the truth that's in there, that we really want, our true desire, the thing we really wanted, our most desired spouse, career, job, promotion, all of that is winning the lottery, that ice cream flavor you like, that is God's will. That's what we really want. And so because we believe we're not worthy of having it, we settle for all these other things, which only provide us temporary happiness. Have you noticed that even after eating the most delicious chocolate ice cream, it only satisfies you for a while? Or any physical experience is pleasurable, only satisfies for a while. But this flow of that living water of God's will, when you feel it and you live in it and walk in it, it absolutely fills me up and fills you up. It's only when I forget that I'm unhappy. And I've made some shifts lately to where more and more I'm in that space, more of the time. Also had a reducing of the motivation for me to practice, but that's a different topic. You know, it's more like focusing on the desire. That's just another trick of my ego to try to live peaceably in a peaceful ego, whatever that is, which isn't really ever going to happen. But that's the lie that my mind wants to sell me as I make shifts like this. Stay focused on the desire. Right? Be driven from desire rather than from problems necessarily. You know, so if I do look at something a mass shooting, like let's take, you know, some mass shootings that may have occurred. I heard of something in Susan's neck of the woods in West Texas that occurred recently and came across my news feed or whatever. You know, what is it that you see and think when you look at this mass shooting? You know, I may feel sadness or whatever moves through you or in you. But there's a trust underneath that, though, right? You know, when who's the hugging saint lady? What's her name? Amma was asked, well, what do you think about all the war and strife in the world, Amma? How do you expect to heal that? You know, and she says, what war and strife? I don't see that. You know, when you only see God's will, there's nothing interrupts the love, nothing. And, you know, this is where we're talking about what is taught to us here in NTI, be willing to deny what you see and trust there's another way to understand the situation you look upon. I don't know what I'm seeing here. Doubt myself, doubt my own confusion, rather than doubting what I think I'm seeing. Because I don't know what I'm seeing. I don't have the grand plan. Therefore, I'm just one little terminal. You know, the Holy Spirit is the whole internet. I can't see what the whole internet can see because I just got one little piece. So of course I can't see it. So I'm going to deny what I think I've concluded about the situation. You know, and this is there was a beautiful prayer that was shared in this chapter. This is used for the purpose of healing. Doubt your unwillingness. Doubt your own doubt. In algebra, negative and negative equals positive. I mean, Holy Spirit can even use our doubt. Doubt our doubt, then it cancels it out. It's gone. And it's such a great reminder to be told, hey, if I'm not really, if I'm judging, there's guilt, okay? And if it's there, I'm not listening with my whole desire to be useful. To be useful means that I'm empty. right? If someone comes up to you and they want to help you and they start listing off their conditions, but it has to be between 2 and 4 p.m. on Tuesdays, and you have to come over and act this and this away to me to help you. No. That's not helpful. You don't start giving conditions for helpfulness. You got to be the open vessel. Now, what I've learned is that the Holy Spirit will never ask me to do anything that I'm not ready to do, skilled to do, able to do, and would enjoy doing. So the Holy Spirit's not a jerk going to hook me up with something that I absolutely would hate. That's not what happens. It's always in harmony with wherever I'm at. Okay? That's what I've always found. And again, the big message here is that desire to do God's will is your greatest desire. It is the river flowing down. It's just that sound of that brook flowing down. Let's just sit with that. I'm pretty concluded with the message for today, from NTI Acts chapter 4 and all of the recent experiences at the retreat and the insights that I've had that I wanted to share with you. So let's receive this in a new way. Let's receive this now, presently, and let's be worthy of this and let ourselves be empty and trust and be happy and know that what we're going to be asked to do isn't something we would not like. It's going to be exactly what we want. And I have a song I'd like to play as we sort of contemplate here and sit with this. It's a lesser known Phil Collins song, if you wouldn't mind playing that, Dawn. It's called River So Wide. You can start it at like 19 seconds if you want. I'll turn it over to Dawn.
Crossing the place that unites us, cross the river so wide. If we can smile at the pain that's inside us, deny the demons, they're way by our side. We have find the light. The nights are filled with the light of the same moon. Share the comfort of the same stars. The days are bright with the light of the same sun. That don't matter. Can't you see what we are? What we are. What we become. Keep our sights on the way. Don't look back, it won't help us now. The storm we left so far behind seems a dark memory. It starts to fade, but till we see the light, we will not be sad. Trusting our swim in the same ocean, break our skin and we will bleed. It's past, in the same motion, face the same danger, we share the same need. And we're all the same, you and me. Keep our sights on the way ahead. Don't look back, that won't help us now. Duck stream the river, it gets too wide. We must build that bridge right here. Cause if we wait, we will not reach the other side. Sky, the winds of the same moon. Share the comfort, the same stars. Our days are bright with the light of the same sun. That don't matter, can't you see what we are? What we are. What we become. Keep our sights on the way. Don't look back, that won't help us now. Cause upstream the river, it gets too wide. And if we don't build that bridge right here, right now, you know we'll never ever reach the other side.
All right, thanks, Don. And also, if anyone feels to donate, we do operate largely off of donations. You can, Don will put up a link, and you can do so now if you'd like. And also, we have a few minutes left, about 7 minutes left. Anyone would like to take the mic and share any thoughts or comments from this topic and what came up in you, even if it's not directly related to the topic, something that got stirred in you, as however you express it. You can either type on the board or raise your hand. Because we got a few minutes left. And I think, George, I'm going to turn it over to you for the fellowship half hour in a few minutes. Because I on the weeks that I give the gathering, George fills in for me. And I'm grateful for George being the guest sanctuary director lately. You did awesome, George. It was really fun to see you in there. That was great. And also, thanks for everybody else that helped out, too.
Hey, Jay, this is Regina.
Yes, please, Regina, go ahead.
Sorry, I don't know how to put up my hand on the phone, and I'm on the phone today. I just wanted to say, you know, one of the things you talked about, you actually touched on a lot of different obstacles, and that was wonderful. And one of the obstacles you touched on was that sense of unworthiness, and you even mentioned trapped in that sense of unworthiness. And Isadora, who is going to be your future roommate, by the way, Isadora sent me an article that she wrote based on what she learned from the retreat that we had in early August, releasing the I am bad belief, and what's helping her become untrapped. And I posted that article, and it came out this morning on the daily update. So if anybody hasn't seen that, if they just go to the daily update, and it was the last thing that came out. If you scroll down the daily update, you'll see reflections on releasing the I am bad belief. That's the article by Isadora. Or you could also go to the website. It's under to read. And then I think it says inspirational articles or inspirational blog, and it shows up there as well. So if anybody wants to see what she really took home from that retreat, that's available as of today. And thank you very much for your sharing, Jay. And I will mute myself again.
Yeah, thanks, Regina. What I've done now is pasted the link to Isadora's new article. This is great. It's a it's just several paragraphs, so it's a quick read. I'm looking forward to. I'll actually right after this, definitely going to read her article. Regina has started the reflections from the retreat house for the sharing after every retreat. So that is going to be a new element. So anyone else want to? Hey, Shauna, go for it.
Thank you, Jay. This was such a great homily. I can picture that river, that stream in Bear, that feeds into Bear Lake, And the water was so crystal clear, just like God's will, right? Flowing easily around those rocks that we perceive as our obstacles. That was just, that's so huge for me also. Thank you. Living life as a river. And what did you say? It was living water of God's will. That was just beautiful, Jay. And also one of the big things that I got out of this retreat that you mentioned was seeing in others. What triggers me in others is what I need to heal. That's, I saw that as self-hate instead of being what in others, it's self-hate. And those are the very things I need to heal. So therefore, I am so grateful that those brothers are showing me these things, because otherwise I would never see them. And you and I work on that a lot. And you asked that you hope that we saw how happy you are. And I do. Your transformation has just been fabulous. I mean, you're so much more peaceful and loving. And you were always that way. It was me seeing my own self-hate in you that couldn't see it. So thank you so much for all you do and all you give and for all of us. It was just beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Shauna. Back to you. Oh, Doreen is sharing, she was walking along the river as you were listening to the message. That's awesome, Doreen. Yeah, and Shauna, you're not guilty for the hate. There's nothing wrong. We all have had hate in our minds towards our others, which of course, as you say, is just towards ourselves. And we're absolutely not guilty for any hate we've ever felt towards ourselves or towards others at all. We're not guilty for it. We didn't do something wrong. We've not offended. It's perfectly okay. It's just a rock in the stream that it's actually beautiful as the water just moves around it. It's just a beautiful part of all of it. Anyone else want to share or ring in the...
Jay, it's yes. Kathy.
Hey, Kathy.
When you were describing the river and the rocks, I was reflecting on being thrown into a river out of a raft, out of a river rafting experience in Colorado.
That's right, I remember that. That's
yeah,
right.
And so yeah, I was thinking about those rocks because obviously when you're in the raft and you see the rocks and the rapidity of the water, and there is the, at least in my mind, there was the consideration of, you know, how would that be to be tipped over into this water? And really, it doesn't matter if you're a good swimmer or not. The force of the water alone carries you where it may. And avoiding the rocks is imperative unless, you know, you really want to be hurt. And so I was thinking how much easier it is when you're sitting on the bank looking at the flow of the water with the rocks in it and how the water just flows around the rocks and the rocks stay where they are. But it's not that same experience at all. It's when you're in that water and the possibility that this human body could be hurt or possibly even die. So it seems like two different things that are possible, yet I will say that in that time that I was in the water, somehow, through the grace of God, the mind was blank, and I was simply searching for the first way that I could safely exit what seemed to be happening. And the lack of thinking, the lack of anxiety, the lack of becoming totally overcome with any sort of fear or you know, I'm going to die. Or I had those thoughts ahead of time before I even got in the water. I had those thoughts, weeks before I actually even went. but I did not have that experience when it actually happened. And so there was that grace in a situation that somehow I brought to myself, and was grateful to have some clarity of mind to still be able to function and not be overcome, you know, by getting bopped over the head with a rock or running into a rock or being broken by a rock or whatever it might be. And as you say, the water just keeps flowing. It has no interest whatsoever in any of the obstacles. It just keeps going, and it's up to us to, or up to me to, place my attention in the direction of that flow, even with the rocks being present. And so all went well, but I couldn't help but think about that. So I'll give up the mic with that.
Yeah, thank you, Kathy. I'm going to turn it back over to Dawn to introduce our next segment, and I would like to chime in a little bit on that once we transition over. Turning it back to you, Dawn. Thank you, everyone. God bless.